Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today we hear this story of Jesus' transfiguration up on the mountaintop, and maybe we can acknowledge one thing off the bat here. This has got to be one of the weirdest stories in the entire gospel narratives of Jesus. And I know there are some pretty amazing things that happened with Jesus, but this has to be up there near the top. I mean, really, it's weird. The story goes, Jesus takes just three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to a mountaintop. And while they're up there, Jesus' face begins to glow with a light like that of the sun. You heard it right. His face glows. And at the same time, his clothes turn, quote, dazzling white. Now, we could stop right there. And bedazzle-robed, face-glowing Jesus could be weird enough. But wait, there's more. Next, a couple of dead guys show up. Dead guys, you say? Yes, dead guys. And they just so happen to be Moses and Elijah. Like Moses and Elijah from the Bible, you say? Yeah, that Moses and Elijah. And the three of them, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, proceed to have a nice casual chat up on the mountaintop. This is a weird story. But wait, there's more. As the disciples try to figure out what in the world is going on, Peter, perhaps picking his jaw up off the floor and maybe feeling like someone should at least address the elephant in the room, suggests something. You know, it's good for us to be here, Jesus. What do you say? I'll construct three shelters for you guys, one for each of you. Incidentally, we might read this and think that for Peter, at this point, the butter has officially slipped off the toast. But his suggestion might actually make the most sense of all. You see, there's a Jewish festival called Sukkot, in which the Jewish faithful remember and proclaim anew the story of the ancient Israelites wandering in the wilderness, a time in which it is told God's people were supported, sustained, and provided for by God in the wilderness for 40 years as they fled the slavery in Egypt. And just like the Jewish Sukkot festival, in which faithful Jews remember and tell the story of how God provided for them when they only had simple shelters to live in, Peter makes a good faith attempt to honor what he sees happening and tries to respond in a faithful way. Let's build three shelters, Jesus. God is providing here. This is what faith has taught Peter. Except, while he is seemingly mid-sentence, a bright cloud surrounds them. Yes, it gets weirder. And a voice speaks from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now at this point, the disciples are so scared out of their minds that they fall to the ground, understandably so, if you ask me. Jesus kindly responds by going to them, putting a reassuring hand on their shoulder and says, "Don't be afraid, fellas." Yeah, right. But the guys open their eyes and see that everything is back to normal. And to cap it all off, then, after all of this, Jesus says, "Now, don't mention this happened to anybody." That's the story. It's weird. And yet, there it is. And it's included not only in Matthew, but also the Gospel of Mark and Luke as well. Now, there's probably been much debate about whether this story actually took place in history. Who would blame anyone to question the strict authenticity of it? Many have surmised it was later added by Christians to somehow greater fortify and ground their belief. There's no real way to prove it one way or another. If it did take place, you can bet that somehow in the afterlife, if I run into Peter, James, and John, I'm going to ask them, "Who spilled the beans?" But rather than try to debate if it actually happened, I find the more fascinating and meaningful question is, why did the story seem so important to pass along? Why did three gospel writers include it? Why did believers continue to speak it over hundreds and hundreds of years, and why would we still proclaim it today? Well, of course, one might surmise some things, no matter how strange. At least part of the purpose in the story is that it further solidifies Jesus' connection to God's action in the world and with God's beloved people from the beginning. It puts Jesus in the vein of the great story of God, the holy law given to Moses, and the prophetic call to faith and justice through Elijah and all the prophets. It says, in effect, if you think Moses and Elijah are a big deal, well, you better check this guy out. It's the same God working in and through God's people and sometimes dragging them along in faithfulness that is present and active here in Jesus. It shines a light, albeit a super glow-faced Jesus light, on how he is in relation to God's will, and moreover, it serves as a kind of divine confirmation of Jesus' life, words, and actions. This is my Son, the Beloved. In him I am well pleased, and this, listen to him. If you've been paying attention thus far in the gospel, what this story does is it calls us, the readers, to go back and reflect again on what Jesus has been saying. And when we do, if we listen, it's rather astounding. You see, because Jesus has done things like heal the sick. You know anyone who needs healing these days? He sits at table with known sinners, or at least people often accused of being social and moral scallywags. He forgives people, seems to count nobody out. Listen to him, the voice says. If we do, we're reminded of how Jesus challenges those in high standing, people of power, politicians, and religious leaders, and especially people who have been given much in life, especially those of us who have more than enough, those of us who are wealthy and not systematically beaten down by the world. Listen to him, the voice says. And if we do, we hear when he says things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek in this neighborhood. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." He says crazy, nonsensical stuff like, "Love your enemies. Give to everyone who begs of you. Shine light into darkness. Align yourselves with the least, the oppressed, and the lonely, and be faithful to God in all times." Listen to him. And just before this event on the mountain, Jesus, for the first time, has told the disciples where this is all headed. He's going to die in order to show love. Listen to him. You see, heard and taken that way, one might see how this story, as weird as it may seem, could hold much power, and still may today. What are you hearing Jesus say? I was thinking of starting the sermon out by saying it's been one heck of a year, hasn't it? And I'm pretty sure that's one heck of an understatement. Acknowledging all we have been through and or witnessed in one way or another, in varying degrees, yes, folks, it's been one heck of a year on this little sphere in the universe. Looking back on it, I can hardly believe this year took place. Do you feel the same? a global pandemic the likes of which humans haven't experienced in 100 years, a great awakening and uprising for racial justice spurred by the awful killing of George Floyd right here in this metro community. Other innocent black citizens such as Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor killed. And the further awareness, activism, and angst in more people realizing just how far and deep the systems of racial injustice span in our country. An election like never before in terms of number of voters and turmoil surrounding it. Social distancing, events canceled, gatherings postponed, milestones missed, distance learning, Zoom meetings, essential workers frayed and frazzled, people out of work, isolation, anxiety, uncertainty, grief upon grief, death upon death, and you know, throw in a violent attack on the Capitol and Congress of the United States government to boot. How you doing out there? Anytime you've been poor in spirit in the last year? Any ways you still are? What about your neighbors? You ever get confused on what day it is? You ever feel like you needed to have the right answers to things but had no idea what to believe or where to turn? And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." In last week's sermon, Pastor Loos noted that the disciple Peter perhaps doesn't get the Savior he wants or anticipates, but rather gets the Savior he needs. This week, perhaps we don't get the story which gives us all the answers. Maybe it's a story we find to be confusing, strange, weird, and fantastical, and yet perhaps it serves us much the same in being the story we need. Listen to him. Because if you listen, you'll hear the story of a Savior who calls you blessed, beloved, even in this year. It's weird to say it, I know. A God who loves the least, who aligns with people grieving and oppressed, and calls out those in power. A God who loves the losers among us. Even you and me, in the ways that you have lost, or I have lost, we all have lost. And does this in the midst of a worldly message which says the only way to life, joy, and freedom is by winning. And so while the story might be strange to our ears, perhaps it's exactly what we and the disciples need. And as we keep listening to Jesus, we eventually hear again the story of a God who dies, who suffers, who feels pain and anguish, in essence, who becomes a big loser. And does so for your sake, for my sake, for our sake, for the world's sake. To our worldly hearts and minds in the rat race of daily life, it might hit us as weird and strange and is sometimes downright unbelievable. But perhaps we must confess that it turns out to be good news. Because even if all is well with you right now and us today, if there's anything the creation has taught us this year, it's that we have no idea what tomorrow brings. And if that's the case, we'll need a God who enters all of it. Which means that we have a God who shines with and for you, and then sends us all down the mountain again to shine for others. Now, I don't know what that will do for you today, how it may compel or transfigure, so to speak, your heart or soul. But perhaps we need this story over and over to remind us just how powerful and transformational this Jesus way is. And if you're confused or doubting or wondering still or still struggling along to listen, I'd say that's pretty normal. Peter, James, and John certainly show us that it's a story that can take some time to sink in. It's a story which can completely confound us. We might attempt to respond faithfully by setting up camp and staying there in one place, only to see that we've completely missed the point. But the call remains, listen to him. Listen to him today, tomorrow, in the days to come. Listen and hear again how you are beloved, how God is in you, in your ups, but perhaps most powerfully so in your downs, in the losses, in the grief and sadness and weirdness of life, a God who remains faithful to you even when we can't remain faithful to anything. And may that word of this weird story continue to give you hope in every day to come. Keep listening to him, dear ones. Keep hearing how he is here with and for you. Keep seeking to shine with and for others in this often so confusing and trying world. Listen to him, for he goes with you. And finally, may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, continue to keep our minds and hearts in Christ. And so we say, thanks be to God. Amen.